Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Now, what we're going to talk about today, I believe, is one of the shifts that need to be made in the church, that when you hear about what we're going to talk about, you'll say, I've heard this one before. I know that. The question is, do you put this into practice? There'll always be distractions. The gospel sharing is so easy. Love people, be authentic, and point them to Christ. That's all you're doing. Just point them to Christ.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. There's a saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's the heart of the lesson on today's edition of Brave, as Pastor Jeff reminds Christians that in order to be effective in spreading the gospel, we must first demonstrate the gospel by being caring and authentic towards others. We are in a series about what it takes to be an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ, a study Pastor Jeff's entitled Discipleship. Before we continue, let me remind you, you can catch up on lessons you may have missed at our website, bravemedia.online. Today, Pastor Jeff opens to the Gospel of John and shares the story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. As Jesus reveals his true identity to this woman, he provides a loving example of how we should be reaching the lost.
This morning, we're going to talk about three questions. What is the gospel? How can I share the gospel? And why should I share the gospel? Those are the three questions that we're going to take a look at. But first, we got to know, like, what is this gospel that we're going to share? Okay? Look back a couple columns or flip back one chapter to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to what he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but should have eternal life. That's the gospel. The gospel in a nutshell is that God loved the world so much that while you were dead in your sin and you couldn't do anything to get right with God, God sent his son to make everything right with himself so that anyone who confesses the son has life in his name. That's the gospel. It's this, simply put. Okay, here's what the gospel is. Listen. It's good news. Okay. You are called to be the bearer of good news. Now here comes the question. If the gospel's good news for the world, here becomes question number two. How do I share this gospel? I'm going to teach you this morning how you can do this. If you listen to this, you will be able to do this by the time this message is done. Okay, so how do you share the gospel? Point number one, you love God and you love people. You love God and you love people. Now, I could say just love people, but the reality is if you love God, you will automatically love people. So how do you know that you're genuinely interested in people? Can I give you three L words that you can use? Okay, number one, look at them. Like, make eye contact with them. Number two, do this. Listen to them. And number three, learn from them. Learn from them. Now, when you study Jesus with the Samaritan woman, what did he do? He looked at her. Did he listen to her? Absolutely, he listened to her. He was learning her whole story from her. Right? They were having a dialogue. He was allowing her to talk. Jesus didn't just show up at the well and say, repent, I'm God, get right, or you're going to hell. That's not how the story went. It'd be so much shorter in the Bible. We can memorize John 4 faster. We have this long dialogue with Jesus. Does he need to listen? Does he need to learn anything about this woman? He knows everything about her. He could have started way down the track and say, hey, go call your husband and come here. The truth is, you don't have any. I know you. I've known you from before the foundation of the world because I am. Worship me. He didn't do that. He was looking at her. He was listening to her. He was learning from her. If you don't do that, you will categorize people and you'll be wrong every single time. You can't say all white males are. That ain't true. I'm a white male and I'm not like every other white male. You can't say all black people are. You can't say all rich people are. You can't say all poor people are. You can't say all gay people are. You can't group people. If you love people, you'll look at them, listen to them, and learn from them. And if you're unwilling to do that, you won't be fit to share the good news. And it won't come across as good news. And really, you're not sharing good news. All you're doing is pumping yourself up in your own pride for religion to make yourself feel better because you don't even care about their response. Love people. look at them, listen to them, learn from them. Now, let me just back up a second. I'm not against preaching. I'm a preacher. I'm not against preaching in the streets. I'm a preacher. I've done it. I'm not against preaching in subway cars. I've done it. Preaching is proclamation for God on behalf of him when he calls you to do that. I'm for that. Preaching still works. I'm talking about life on life, sharing the good news with people. And while I'm a preacher, I know that at Thanksgiving dinner, when people come to my house and I got 20 to 40 people in my house, I don't say, hey, listen up. You 10, we know we're going to heaven. What about the 30 of you that are going to hell? Repent right now before we eat the turkey. It won't work. Unless the goal is to exit people and cause a schism in my family. Can we just love people? I have a friend that watches more documentaries than anybody that I know, and he told me about one he saw recently of people that commit suicides. And he told me one story about this person that had committed suicide that left a suicide note before they went to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, and it said something like this: I'm going to jump off the bridge today and kill myself, but if one person will just smile at me, I won't do it. Folks, everybody you ever meet has a sign around them that says, do I matter? Am I valued? Am I loved? Does anybody care? Is anybody looking for anything? They're not looking for your doctrine. They're looking for your love. That's where it starts. If you don't love people, you can't share the good news of Jesus Christ. Right? Are we getting this? So this is really easy, because everywhere you go today, you're going to have the opportunity to choose to love people. You can make them feel your love so that you can have a chance to ensure the gospel. How about this? Number two, be authentic. Be authentic. That means this: be real. It means be who you are. It means God gave you a personality, and their personality didn't change when you got converted. It just got redeemed. You are who you are. You like what you like. You enjoy what you enjoy. Don't be fake. Christians, we can act fake around non-Christians. I remember when I was in seminary, at Dallas Seminary, we would be in a preaching class, and we'd be reading scripture, and they'd be like, hey, you know, so-and-so, why don't you read John 4? And we were just having a conversation like this, and all of a sudden the guy would pick up his Bible and go like this: therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples, I'm like, what happened? You went into like super Christian mode. Don't do that. Be you. Answer their questions. God chose you. Notice who he chose in this story. He chose a Samaritan woman. Think she had some baggage she was going back with? He chose you. He chose you. You're his ambassador. He's got a message through you. Be authentic. Now, let me just ask you by show of hands on both campuses here this morning. How many would say they still have some questions concerning things about God that he hasn't quite answered yet? When you get to heaven, you got some questions, okay? Just by show of hands. Anybody not put their hand up yet? I mean, participate, please. Okay, you got show of hands. Okay, how many of you would say that there's still ways in your life you're depending upon God, you're relying upon God, there's things that you just, man, if God doesn't come through in this, okay. So here's what you've told me. You are needy people with a lot of questions. Right? You are. And so am I. So how come it is when we go out and share the gospel with people, we pretend that we're not? If you're needy and you have questions, then how come when you talk to people about Jesus, you pretend that you don't have any? Yeah, I used to have that question, brother. I don't have that question anymore. Yeah, I used to be needy, but now that I have Jesus, everything works out in my life. Really? Liars. You can't share the gospel and lie. You can't. Be real. Be authentic. Trusted Jesus Christ when I was 18 years old, and I still have some questions. And there's areas I'm still depending on Christ for, and there's areas I need him more in my marriage. There's areas I need him more with my children. And there's ways I'm trying to grow more as a pastor because I don't fully understand how to do it perfectly yet, and I never will. And so I'm kind of relying on him. So I totally get that. I went and shared at a junior college one time. I got called by a friend. And they were set up this table, this atheist group, and they wanted to invite people for questions. So me and my friend just went to talk to them. And I remember we were talking to them. I'm like, I don't know where this thing's going to go. But we were looking at them. We were learning from them. We were loving on them. We were listening to them. And it was going nowhere. And finally, this one guy said, you know, hey, we just believe this. And I said this. It just came right out of my mind, my heart. I said, you know, Jesus said we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And I said, I really appreciate the fact that you want to use your mind to see what's really true. Changed the whole conversation. Then he started asking me questions. Then we ended up talking for an hour. By the time we got done talking, I'll never forget what happened. I was watching this guy, and this guy, we were sitting in three chairs, and this guy got up, and he stood on the chair, and he pointed down at my friend, and he goes, this is what I thought Christianity was. This is what everybody tells me Christianity is. Then he sat back down in his chair, and he looked us in the eye and said, but if what you guys are talking about Christianity is, he goes, I think this is what I've been looking for my whole life. See, we make judgments about people. That person's too far from God. That person's too smart. That person's too wayward. That person's too sinful. Go spend time with them. Go love them. Go serve them, right? And can I just give you two ways to do that? Okay. Sometimes we go loaded for bear, man. We got our tracts, we got our Bibles, and I'm for tracts, and I'm obviously for the Bible. There's nothing wrong. I've used all those things, right? But how about this? How about ask questions? I've been in a lot of evangelism training classes. I've had very few people tell me, go ask people questions. See, if you really want to learn from them, ask them questions. What do you think about this? What's your opinion on that? Learn from them. And they're going to tell you things you don't agree with, and just listen to them. Notice this woman. All throughout this story, she's telling Jesus things he doesn't agree with. He just keeps guiding the conversation. Where's he guiding the conversation? To himself. Ask questions. How about this? Christian, please, 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 please do this. Ask for help. I didn't say ask to help. See, there's a difference if you come to my house and say, I'm here to help you today. You obviously don't know what you're doing. I'm here to help. Now, anytime you guys want to do that mechanically, come on over. I'm happy to, right? But there's a difference between coming to my house and saying, hey, could you help me? There's something that goes off different in my heart. One is like I'm backing up because you want to do something for me. The other one is you need me. How does Jesus start this story with the woman? Give me a drink. Did Jesus need help to get a drink? Please help, and please answer this. Did he need help to get a drink?
No.
I mean, she's looking at him like, yeah, okay. Well, what was Jesus doing? He was showing his humanity. He could have got a drink anytime he wanted. He could have said, Father, just pour it in my mouth. I'd like to see it come up out of the spring and into my mouth. I'd like you to purify it and freshen it and do it all. He doesn't need her help. He's asking for her help. It opens her heart. That's why she says, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a woman, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Like, how can you cross these boundaries? How could you love someone like me? We know Jews don't love people like us. Think there's any groups in our society that think Christians don't love them?
A little.
I can think of several populations of people in our world that don't think Christians love them, and the reason that they don't is because we as Christians preach to them without loving them. I mean, it's easy to quote a Bible verse and tell people they're going to hell. Because it makes you feel good that you're right. It's hard to associate with people that are unlike you, that live differently than you for so long that they actually see your love. And by the way, this isn't just one conversation. And it's really interesting because when the disciples show up, you're going to see what they say, because when they see Jesus talking to this woman, they're curious too. Like, how could you hang out with people like that? Like how could you hang out with people like this? Like, I don't get how you, being God, could hang out with people like that. God hangs out with everybody. God loves the world. He doesn't love sections of the world. Just a word on racism. If you're a racist, you're going to hate heaven. Because you're going to have people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. There'll be every multicolored skin there in the world. And if you don't like worship, you're going to hate heaven too. It's going to be loud. All right? Turn it down, Jesus. I mean, it's going to be loud. With people from every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping the Lord. And see, so what we're doing when we share the gospel is we're sharing vulnerabilities and we're asking questions. We're saying this, I was, but God, and now. That's all we're sharing. That's how quick a testimony can be. I was a prideful religious kid that thought I was really, really awesome, doing everything I wanted to do, thinking I was going to heaven because of my good works. But God got a hold of me at Young Life Camp and told me I needed him as a Lord and Savior. And I confessed my life to Jesus and became surrendered to him. And now I am trying my best to follow him all the days of my life. That's my testimony. What's yours? Right. A testimony is what has God done in your life, right? So is Jesus being these things? Yeah, he's loving his Father. Clearly, he loves people. He's being authentic. And notice what else he's going to do. What we need to do, number three, which is declare Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, you can insert whatever word you want there. You can put confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You can put announce that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can talk about the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can demonstrate that you're going to speak something to the fact that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Because notice what he's doing throughout this whole thing where we're talking about worship and how to worship and how to be surrendered. What does he end by saying? I who speak to you am he. The Messiah, you want to know who the Messiah is? I am. Right? Jesus didn't have to talk about any vulnerabilities. He didn't have any. His vulnerabilities were the fact that he had put on flesh for all eternity. That was his vulnerability. That's why he's asking for water. Our vulnerabilities look different. We still sin. We still make mistakes. We still have questions. We still do dumb stuff. We can tell people about that and tell them how Christ is working on that. And then all we're doing is this. As we love God and people, and as we're being authentic, all we're doing is shining the light on Jesus. We're just pointing people to Jesus. We're just pointing people to Jesus. That's all we're doing. We're just telling, hey, Jesus did it. That's all the gospel is. And when you point people to Jesus, you know who gets excited? The Holy Spirit. Because that's his job. Oh, you want to talk about Jesus? I'm all in. I'll do this. See, it's not your job to convict people of sin. It's not your job to win people to Christ. It's not your job to do all the work. It's your job to announce that Jesus Christ is Lord and let the Holy Spirit do the work, because John tells us his job is to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. When you can look people in the eyes that are non-believers, love them and listen to them and talk about what Jesus has done for you and how he's willing to do it for them and continue to love them, even if they don't respond, the Holy Spirit gets all up in there, all over that. Like, dude, you are a sinner. What he's saying is true. God is righteous. You need to repent. I mean, all that stuff happens, but not because of you. This is not a sales pitch. This is a relationship. See, we're shifting from rules to relationship. Rules would say, get out there. How many people did you share with this week? Check the box. How many people did you talk to this week? Check the box. How many people got saved this week? Check the box. That's rules. That's wrong. Here's what it is. I'm in love with Jesus. And because of him, I'm opening my eyes to look at whoever else is around me. And I just want to tell them about the fact that God loves them. And here's how you know he loves you, because I'm broken and frail and I love you. And God loves you way more than I do. That's how we share the gospel. I mean, simply just love people. You'll have opportunities to talk about who Jesus is. I mean, in a conversation, anytime you love somebody, things come up that they don't understand. Yeah, well, I just don't understand why, if God's so loving, my mom died early of cancer. I don't understand how church people say you guys love everybody, but then I don't feel loved. Hey, I just don't understand how, like, you Christians talk about why marriage is so important, but 50% of your marriages are broken. Here's what I would tell you. Don't argue and don't debate. Jesus is not arguing and debating over the fact he's Lord. I don't argue and debate over the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. I just declare that this is what he's done in my life. He's the Lord of my life. That's all I do. Don't argue and debate. People will always try to argue and debate. And here's why they always try to argue and debate. Because you got to realize there's a spiritual battle taking place for their soul. So they'll always throw something else in there that has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. Like this. Well, if what you're saying is true, then what about that migrant farmer out in Africa? They don't know any migrant farmers out in Africa. They're just throwing that out there to see if you're going to chew on that rather than point people to Jesus and say, so then what I say is this, hey, you know, we can talk about that, but I want to talk to you about how much Jesus loves you. Yeah, but do you really believe God created the world just from two people and that the whole population came from just two people? I think that's crazy. We can talk about that, but I want to talk to you about the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he loves you. There'll always be distractions. The gospel sharing is so easy. Love people, be authentic, and point them to Christ. That's all you're doing. Just point them to Christ. Love people, be authentic, be real, and point them to Christ. Now notice this. Picking back up in John chapter 4, let's see if the woman did this. Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. Verse 27, at this point his disciples came. Now when it says at this point in the Bible, what it means is right at this exact moment that Jesus declared, I am the Christ. Right at this moment where Jesus is declaring to this woman, if you want a relationship with God, it's through me. I'm the Christ. Like right then, the disciples show up. They've been out buying food. And they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek or why do you speak with her? Nobody's going to dare speak that out loud, but they're asking that. If you're really living out the faith, there should be other Christians that question who you hang out with. Why are you hanging out with those people? Why are you going to that place? Why do you call those your friends? You're a Christian, aren't you? Yeah, that's why I hang out with them. Because I'm demonstrating the love of God to people, right? So right then is when they show up. Now notice what happens next. I love this verse. Love it, love it, love it. So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? Now, check this out. What was the woman doing at the well? Why was she there? Help me out. What was she coming to do? She was coming to draw water. What was she holding in her hand to draw water with? A water pot. How important was the water pot to her drawing water? It's everything. She can't draw the water without a pot. As a matter of fact, she asked Jesus, are you greater than our father Jacob? I mean, are you going to draw water without a pot? In other words, what she needed to satisfy her greatest need, she was holding in her hand. It's why she came. Jesus had told her earlier, if you would ask me, you wouldn't need that thing anymore because what I'm going to give you is going to fill you up with eternal water that's going to continue to spring forth from your soul. What do you see next when she learns that he's the Christ? She drops her water pot and leaves. You're not hearing me. The very thing that was once giving her life, that she was clinging on to, that was most important, when she discovered Jesus could give her something greater, she dropped the thing she thought was giving her life because Jesus had already filled her. Amen. See, the question in salvation is not when did you pray the prayer, when did you do this? It's when did you drop your pot? When was the time in your life that you were getting fed by this? You ain't getting fed by that anymore. When was the time that you dropped your sexual immorality because you found Jesus? Yeah. Or your drugs because you found Jesus? Or your pride because you found Jesus? Or your greed because you found Jesus? When did you drop your pot? If you haven't dropped your pot, you're not surrendered to the Lord. You're not a disciple of his and you're not a Christian. When did you drop your pot? I was 18 when I dropped my pot. See, because if you're still holding on to the pot, you're saying, I still want to get filled up with this, but Jesus is pretty cool too. No, you're still clinging. You let go of the pot and you worship. And here's how you know you've let go of the pot. You're going to go tell other people you found something greater than what you were once hanging on to. So who's this woman go to? Did you see it in the text? Did you read it? Who did she go to? She went to the men of Sychar. Why'd she go to the men? They knew her. Why didn't she go to the women? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but my experience and kind of counseling and seeing things, women don't like their men hanging out with other women that they may sleep with. This woman wasn't liked by other women in the town. They go back to the men. And what's she going to do? She's going to love them in a way she's never loved them before. She's going to love them with her body. She's going to love them with the good news. She's going to love them with the transformation that's taken place in her heart. And she's going to tell these men, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done.
Today, we're learning that care and kindness are powerful keys to opening people's hearts to the gospel. You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today, Pastor Jeff shared a message titled, Searching Dissatisfied. And if you missed any part of the broadcast, or you'd like to hear more messages from Pastor Jeff, visit us at bravemedia.online. You can also learn more about the ministry of Brave there and our ongoing mission to save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus Christ. Today, we'd like to invite you to be part of our mission. No matter where you're listening from, you can play a part in this growing radio ministry by supporting our efforts with a donation of any amount. Your gift, big or small, helps us take the life-changing power of the gospel to new listeners in your own community and across the nation. So don't wait. Reach out today and join the team by making a generous gift. Click the Donate tab at our website, bravemedia.online, or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, write to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you live in the Denver area, we'd love to meet you at weekend services here at Brave Church. You can join us at one of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs, or listen wherever you are through our live stream. For details, directions, and service times, head to bravemedia.online. At the bottom of our homepage, click the Brave Church button for all the information you need. And if you have any further questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, email us, hello@bravechurch.co. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us next week when Pastor Jeff concludes the message, Searching Dissatisfied. That's coming up next time on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.